So glad to be here, and I'm going to ask you, we're going to pray, we're going to look into the Word this morning, and we're going to start in Acts chapter 16. If you have your Bible and you want to turn over there to Acts chapter 16, all right, Acts chapter 16, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity. Thank you for this house of worship here. Thank you for all these wonderful, beautiful, faithful people, saints of God, all the way from new believers to alongsiders to veteran Christians and ministers. Lord, we thank you for this house, that place of worship, Lord, a place where your presence rests here, touches and blesses all who come into your place. Lord, we give you all the praise as we look into your word. Open it up to us, Lord. Speak to each and every heart by your Holy Spirit, personally and individually. It's your word today, Lord, we're looking into. Empowered by your Holy Spirit, we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, if you're new, you may not know, we've been going through something called Bible Engagement. Bible Engagement. There's an app you can get on your phone. And over here on the table to my right, back in that corner over there, there's some pages, and it talks about the scriptures and the sections. In other words, the goal is that we go through the Bible in a year, and we don't, we hit just the themes of the Bible. So you can pick one of those up if you want. It'll tell you what we're going to be studying about next week. We can also help you if you want to get the app on your phone. How many of you guys have an app? Anybody? Some of y'all use the app? Sherry's better at it than I am. I have it, but she's better at using it than I am. But it's been fun to go through this. And as it would be, as the Lord would have it, today, I land back in the pulpit, and it gets to be one of my favorites. The title this week is, I Disciple. That might be an old term to you. Some of you might be a new term, but, you know, they call Jesus, his followers, disciples of Christ, the followers of Christ. The theme is, and the point is, and listen, I don't know if you've ever felt this way in your faith, in your life, or maybe in your faith walk with following Christ or trying to follow Christ and be a Christian. Anybody ever felt isolated and I don't know what to do? Can I get a witness? It's a pretty common experience for us. And somebody says, well, I just need the Bible and the Holy Spirit. Yes, that's true. But Jesus set it up so you would have alongsiders, the family of God. I love it. Somebody said, how many of you remember the old TV show, you got to be my age, Lone Ranger? One of my favorites when I was a kid. And after he solves the problem, the crime, somebody always says, help me out, who was that masked man? The point is, there are no Lone Ranger Christians. No Lone Ranger Christians. That's not what the Bible shows us. In Christ's example and model, this is meant to be lived in community. We're to have alongsiders. We're to be alongsider. Yes, the Holy Spirit, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit back to us. He is our alongsider. But we are to have alongsiders. We're to be alongsiders alongside others. That's the way it's set up to work. And by the way, sociologists tell us the greatest problem in the world today is loneliness. Well, this is the cure for loneliness. Hello? In fact, sometimes Jesus had to go hide out for a little bit just to get some time alone with God. Community, this is the way that the word God set this Christian walk in the gospel. He set it up this way. And I'm going to start with Acts 16, 1 through 5. Maybe you want to read along with me. Then he came to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were at that region. For they all knew that his father was Greek, and as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in their number daily. We're talking about Timothy today, and this is an example of one young disciple Paul picked up along the way. Timothy. Acts very often talks about Paul, Timothy, and Silas. Paul, Timothy, and Silas. Excuse me. I got that little tickle going on here this morning for some reason. It's the consequences of not speaking for a while. Paul, Timothy, and Silas. Listen, this is the way, by the way, this is the way to live victoriously in Christ, connected with other believers, alongsiders. Timothy, by the way, I can't go on without mentioning this, Timothy 3. Timothy in his book, First and Second Timothy, very insightful. By the way, last Sunday, we played a video. We prayed for Charlie Kirk's family, and I trust that you continue to do this and pray for his widow and his children and his family. We honor his life, but I thought of some of the controversies that are swirling in our current world, in our modern situation. I can't help but be reminded of, do you guys have 2 Timothy 3 up there? They're searching. There's three people at the computer right now looking for it. 2 Timothy 3. Timothy said, in the last days, men will be lovers of self rather than lovers of God. He went on to explain what that's going to look like. If you want to look at it, look in your Bible, look it up this afternoon. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 8. Here it is. In the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers. Say that again. Slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. From such people turn away. This is the sort of those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning, never able to come to the truth. I'm going to stop right there. Can anybody recognize the times we're living in? In that. Jesus said this. You know the gospel. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 13 through 14, I am the gate. Come on, say it with me. Jesus is the gate. He said, no one comes to the Father but by me. He said, he's the gate. No one comes to the Father but by me. And he says, straight or narrow is the way. I'm struck by the fact that few will find it. Few will find it. Can you say that with me? Few will find it. Hey, I want to be in the few. How about you? I mean, I know in heaven, heaven's crowded. Around the throne of God, Revelation tells us there's the voice of many waters from generations and generations. But Jesus said, listen, this sticks with me, and few there be that find it. Does this concern you? Few there be that find it. Be one of the few. Hey, I want to be one. Would you say that with me? I want to be one who finds it. That's the narrow way. That's the gate's narrow. There's broad is the way. There's many ways that lead to destruction. Listen, I'm not trying to be negative today. I'm just going to preach the word, okay? I'm positive because there is a way. But we need to know the truth. There aren't many ways to God. Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the way. That's the gospel. That's the message that we have. That's the truth with a capital T. And he says, narrow is the way, or straight is the way. Now find it. There's the gate. When I was a kid, I didn't know much. But I went to church, and the church was a good church. And I had great parents who loved Jesus, but I didn't know much more than about the gate. The gate. I did know that if you didn't go through the gate, as my pastor said when I was a boy, you're going to, help me out, brace yourself, split hell wide open. But there's a way. Early Christians, I understand, called following Jesus the way. This is the way. We follow Jesus. There is a way to follow Jesus. And I think the question to ask myself or ourselves is, well, I guess, what is a disciple? But am I a disciple? Am I a disciple? I think one of the best place, Pastor Brett, you probably do the same thing. Best place to start out, the greatest commandment. Lord, sum up all the commandments. They asked him. He said, I'll sum it up for you. The greatest commandment. We have that in Luke 10:27. You know it. Some of you know it by memory. Jesus said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. The greatest commandment. I like these because somebody said it's simple, but it's not easy. It means I prioritize God in my life. He's number one. I keep him first, and he said he'll add all these things to me if I keep him in first place. I prioritize him. He's number one. I want to love him with my mind, with my soul, my will and my emotions, with my strength, with my choices, with what I do day by day. I want to love him. Now, we know this. I mean, you know this. Can I just remind you, just in case somebody forgot? We don't serve him so he will love us. Somebody said, we serve him because he loves us. Amen? Because of his love for us. We serve him. Not, it doesn't make him love us more that we serve him, but he said we're to love him first. Put that priority. I love that Romans 5:5, one of my favorite verses. The love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. How good is that? He says he's going to pour his love into my heart, and I'm going to love him back. He loves me, and I love him back. Somebody help me, because he loves me. Not because I'm so good, not because I'm so righteous, not because I'm so spiritual, but because he loves me and I receive his love, help me out, I get to love him back. Somebody says, what do you come to church? We come, I like to come to church, but why do you guys do all that singing? Annie? We're singing because we're just telling him back that we love him. We're thinking that he loves us. We're thinking that he saves us. We're thinking that he wrote our name in the Lamb's Book of Life, that he's got a home for us, that he sent his Holy Spirit, and he will help us with whatever we need help with. So we got to sing about it, whether we can sing or not. We're not all be singers, but we just sing because he loves us, and we tell him how much we love him and appreciate him. Loving God for the disciple. Am I a disciple? Loving God is my number one priority. He fills my heart. He teaches me to properly accept myself. I love how he says, the second is like it. You love your neighbor as you love yourself. What does that tell me? It tells me that I need to accept myself. All right, anybody, you don't have to raise your hand or give me a wink or a nod. Anybody ever struggle with that? Because like, ah, oh, man, why am I like that? Why do I do like God? Why'd you make me? Is anybody ever had those internal conversations? He accepts me just like I am. Isn't that the greatest thing ever? And I love the saying, he loves me too much to leave me the way I am. But come on, One of my favorite promises in Scripture, maybe yours too, Philippians 1:6, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began the good work in you will perfect it unto completion in the day of Christ Jesus. I love how Paul said it. Paul said, I know we all have weaknesses. The Apostle Paul said, I have weaknesses too. Don't you love what he said? But I glory in my weakness because my weakness is the perfect receptacle for God's strength. Come on. We can accept ourselves and knowing that we have weaknesses and shortcomings, but we prioritize loving God and we receive his strength into our weakness. That ought to get an amen somewhere. So, here we go with this. Since I know I'm loved and accepted by my Heavenly Father, I can love other people. Here's the biggest trap. The biggest trap. You can even fall in this trap at the church house. I get offended sometimes by what people say and do. Are you with me? I get offended sometimes by what people say and do. You heard me say it many times. One of my favorite old gospel songs about excuses. And some lady on the song says, well, that preacher didn't even shake my hand. You know, come on. You can get offended with family, neighbors, friends, strangers. Get offended in the store. You can get offended in the line at Starbucks. You can get offended with people at church because of something they said or did or didn't do. Can I get a witness? Somebody should write a book on that. There's a great book on it by John Bevere called The Bait of Satan. And the offense will rob the flow of the love of God in our life. Are you with me? It blocks the flow of God in my life, and it makes me unable to love other people. Jesus said it in easily many times, but certainly in the Lord's Prayer, Father, I forgive those who trespass against me just like you forgive me. Come on, we ought to just pause. If there's somebody that you're offended at in your life, which there probably is, it may be strangers, it may be somebody close to you, but the thing is, just today, just with the grace of God, forgive them. It's not a feeling. You don't even have to feel good about it. You just got to do it. Come on, somebody help me. We just got to do it. Father, your forgiveness flows to me, but it flows through me. It flows through me as I forgive people who offenses that are great, offenses that are small. The Bible says offenses will come. Reason to be offended. I was offended last Sunday night at 8 o'clock when I got a call from Pastor Daniel, our Spanish language church, that somebody, for some reason, busted out one of the front doors on Sutro to the church. That offended me because I was trying to watch the Charlie Kirk Memorial Service. But instead, I had to come down here and I had a few good brothers, Alberto and Richard, came down to help me. Thank you, guys. God bless you. And by the way, when I was 30, it was not a problem, but trying to load a 4x8 sheets of plywood in the back of my vehicle by myself at 68 is a bit of a challenge. In that moment, I was a little offended by the, well, Lord, you fill in the blank, whoever busted out the window for no good reason. They didn't steal anything. They didn't take anything. They just felt like breaking out a window for whatever reason. So, while we're fixing it, the brothers here are fixing it, and I'm rounding up stuff for them, and we're forgiving the people who did the breaking. Because listen, can I tell you something? You and I, we cannot afford to hold offenses. It will block the flow of the love and the life and the Spirit of God in our lives. Can I just get an amen there? That we have to say, I don't have to feel like it, but I do. I'm going to forgive. And then every time that offense comes back up, I'm going to keep forgiving. And I love Joanne Healing Prayer teaches, forgive them, repent of my judgment, ask God to bless them. You have to grit your teeth, just do it, because God says to do it, and it keeps the flow of the Spirit of God coming in your life. Can I get an amen there? And we'll move on that. Here's the test. Here's the test of, am I a disciple? John 14, chapter 14, verse 15. The test of whether or not I'm a disciple. If you love me, keep my commandments. Could we simplify it? Could you just help me out? Jesus said, do what I say. If you love me, do what I say. He goes on to say, if you don't do what I say, you don't love me. It's just words. Help me, somebody. Nobody's going to do it perfectly. We're imperfect human beings. God knows that. But to the best of our ability, we're going to do what he says in his word, as he leads us, as he guides us. Alongsiders. Can we ask that? Am I a disciple? Is there something? Here's the test. Listen, it is a test. Like, you know, when you take the class and then you do the test to see if you learned it. This is the test. The good news is you keep getting to take the test as many times as we need to. If you love me, you will be doing what I say, Jesus says. Doing what I say. That's the great commandment. Here's the thing about disciples. There is also a great commission. Somebody said, a great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will make a great Christian. A great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission will make a great Christian. Isn't it cool that Jesus, he gave us a mission. He gave us something to do. Well, first of all, love God and love your neighbor. Now, once you start getting that right, keep working on it. It's a lifetime project. Now, he says, I have a mission, a co-mission. It's a co-mission with him. I have a mission for you. We're going to pick up his mission. We're going to pick up his mission and go with that. I say the called. The called. This is for the called. The Bible says, many are called, few are chosen. There's that little F-E-W word again, few. Many are called, few are chosen. Who are the chosen? In my perspective, the chosen are the ones who answer the call. Not everybody answers the call. But we, here, we answer the call, right? Can I get a rousing yes or an amen or something here? We answer the call. I love this saying. It's not a scripture, but it's a saying. I find it true. God doesn't call those who are qualified. He qualifies those who are called. In other words, he qualifies those who say yes to the call. What's the call? The call. The first call, all of us, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 18, says that we are all called. Can you say that with me? We are all, A-L-L, called to the ministry of reconciling people to God. We're all called. Every one of us. Sometimes you say, well, I like Nevada. I like Texas. I like Tennessee. I like living here or there. I like this climate. I like this terrain. I like the tax situation. The best place to be is wherever God calls you. That's the best place to be. In fact, your job, you might not even like it right now, but if God called you there, just make the best of it. Be a witness. We have these little cards in the seat backs here, and they're just for this reason of just answering the call. Who in my life? I'm called, you're called, I'm called, but you're called. We are all called to the ministry of reconciling people to God. That just means be ready to tell your story. Lynn, you tell your story of God touching and healing your body. I'm sure you tell it a lot. You tell it at work. You tell it to people you meet. You tell it to neighbors. And your story is, you know what? What God did for me, he'll do for you. But Jesus is the Lord of my life. Amen? Here's what Jesus did for me. You don't have to be eloquent. You don't have to be able to be a speaker. You just have to tell your story. What did Jesus do for you? That's our story. That's being a minister of reconciliation. This has a list on it. If you want to make a list, you can have it. Take it, put it in your Bible. Pray for it regularly. Family, friends, co-workers, school, neighbor, others. Somebody says, it says on here, oikos. We're not selling yogurt. Oikos is that Greek word used in the New Testament when the Philippian jailer, Paul, went to his house when God sent an earthquake and they got out of jail. He went to the Philippian jailer's house and led him and his family to Jesus, to faith in Jesus. And he said, you and your oikos, your circle of friends and family, shall be saved. Stand. All we got to do is that 8 to 15 people in our little sphere of influence. Amen. My neighbors, my friends, my family, my coworkers, my students, you know, just whoever that is. Daily. Yes. That's it. You guys still hanging in there with me? All right. That's the who. We're all called. We're all called. Sometimes you get a next step. Now, once we do the first thing is we're all called. That's our co-mission. We're not doing it by ourselves. We're doing it with God. Hopefully, we're not being a disciple by ourselves. We're doing it with a few other people in our life. Some other believers from the church, some other believers up at the campus, some other believers that we're walking together, we're praying together. By the way, we said when we started out, loneliness is the greatest sociological problem in the world, they tell us, certainly in America. And somebody said one simple solution, I like how the Bible says, if you want to have a friend, help me out, be a friend. I don't have a friend. Well, be a friend and you'll have one. Be a friend to two or three people. You should get at least one good friend out of that. Somebody said a simple thing. If you're just going through an extra lonely season in your life, and sometimes these things happen to us, text somebody good morning every morning. In other words, you're reaching out. You're making an effort. You're just texting, good morning. Is he praying for you today? It's just showing ourselves to be a friend is a cure for loneliness. This is not a Lone Ranger thing, we said. This is a alongsider thing. The next step in our calling. God will lead you into a more specific level of your calling. Number one, all of us are called to the ministry of reconciling people to God, sharing our story. That's the way this thing works. That's your mission, our co-mission. The next level of your calling. Sometimes you feel God's called you, and I mean, if you want to nod at me or raise your hand or something, sometimes you feel God's called you to something. You can't exactly get knowing of what it is, but you know there's something, and you don't know what to do or how to get there. Anybody? Could I get a... Yeah. And when I was young and in my 20s, I felt God calling me to something. I felt God calling me to some type of missions work. And I thought the missionaries that I had gotten acquainted with and knew were all missionaries from Africa. So I thought, well, maybe God's calling me to Africa. I mean, you know what I'm saying. You don't exactly know what it is. You kind of latch on to something. But God's called us all. He's got a purpose and a plan for every one of us, whether you're in your 20s or your 80s. The purpose doesn't go away. Can I get a witness about that? So I was seeking the Lord about this, and this kind of knowing. We say the Lord spoke to me, but I didn't hear an audible voice. It was just an impression inside of here that I knew God was kind of trying to lead me in a direction, lead me in a way. And the company that I was working for, he felt like, I felt God said, bid on this job, but he said, go to this pastor in this town where I'm leading you, and he will help you. This is an impression, a strong impression that I had, and I felt like I knew God was leading me in that. I didn't know him. He had no idea who I was. I had the job that they transferred me. I went there. I went and met him. And I shared my thank you, urging sense that I had of a call. I said, Pastor, I think I want to meet with him. I feel like God's calling me into missions. What kind? I said, well, I think maybe Africa. I don't know. And he goes, okay, well, what time frame do you think? I have some little children at the time. And he says, I said, you know, I had no idea. I just went, well, maybe two or three years. He says, well, if you don't start now, you won't be ready in 3 years. Oh, there's a bit of wisdom from an elder brother in the Lord, this pastor. Oh, well, I don't know what to do. He goes, here, read this book, come back and talk to me. I read the book. I go, that's what I believe. He goes, that's what we believe. Okay. I didn't have a background in this fellowship of churches. It was an Assemblies of God church. Okay. What do I do? He goes, well, as you're faithful to this house of God, then start taking these classes and you will get yourself ready by the time comes. Oh, thanks, Pat. That's all. I needed somebody to help me. Are you with me? We need somebody to help us and guide us. This pastor became a dear, dear friend. He helped me for years. I served in his church as a youth pastor, etc. Took the classes, finished the courses, graduated, got my ministry credentials. I didn't know where to start. I didn't know where to go. I didn't know what to do. He launched me out into full-time ministry. And when he had a medical situation and was on life support years and years later, his family called and had me in the room when they unplugged him from life support as we prayed over him and held hands together. God will bond you with the longsiders. You're not a lone ranger. This is the body of Christ. We can't do this by ourselves. Now, God may not have called you to be a missionary. Your calling is no less important, no less specific. Maybe he's called you to be a doctor or a teacher or a, what are they saying? What's the point? A candlestick maker. I don't know. All of this is important. It's just our vocation is not as important as the calling on our life, wherever it is, and it gets more specific as God leads us. And can I get an amen with that? He leads us. Pastor Trammell, what a blessing in my life. What a blessing. He helped me. So he will lead us, like Paul and Timothy and Silas. We come to this point. What about you? You may be a long-time Christian. You may be serving in all kinds of ways, and maybe you're new at this, and you're like where I was at some time. It's not about age. It's just about I don't know what the next step is. I don't know what to do. Where are you in your journey with God, in your calling? What is your next step? What is your next step? Let me tell you, one reason we exist here is to share Jesus, to share the gospel, to help people come to Christ. Another reason we're there is to help you get where you're going, to help you get where God's called you. That's part of being a disciple and alongsider for us is that, yes, is my responsibility just is beyond getting up here and speaking a word on a Sunday. My responsibility is sharing Christ, sharing my story with my neighbor, with my coworkers, with the construction guys who come in here and work on this building, etc. Personal, one-on-one, just like you, wherever you are. Secondarily, to help one another. One reason we exist here is to help you get to your calling, fulfilling the calling God has on your life when you have a more specific sense of what that is. To help you get there, God is calling you. And I'm going to close with this scripture, 2 Timothy 2:2. You might know it. We used to like to say 2 Timothy 2 to the world. Paul writing to Timothy. And the things that you have heard from me, Timothy, among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men. I'm going to say women. It means people, men and women, who will also be able to teach others also. Men and women. That's four levels of alongsiders. Paul, Timothy, faithful men and women, and others. This is how the gospel, this is how the good news, this is how the calling works. Come on, say it with me. The Great Commandment, the Great Commission makes a great Christian. I like the simplicity of the word. There's lots of complexities in the word, but I'm attracted and drawn to the simplicity of the word. Maybe because I'm a simple person. I like these simplicities. A great commitment to the great commandment and the great commission makes a great Christian. It makes a Christian who can stand before the Lord one day and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I'm not talking about doing it perfectly. I'm not talking about having no weaknesses or you understand that. It's about just giving it my best effort. Giving it my best effort. 2 Timothy 2:2. God's calling is not limited. Amen. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:2 it to your world. Your world. I want to pray with you today. I want to pray with you today, and let's just bow our heads. And if there's someone here this morning and you say, "Man, Pastor, I'm hearing this word, and you know, my next step is I just need to get right with God. I've had some stuff happening in my life, and I've gotten off course. I've gotten off track. I just need to get right with God." So there's never going to be a better place to do that than right here. I would just ask you, if you would, just take a little step of faith and lift your hand. Lift your hand. Nobody's looking at you. We're lifting it to God. You're lifting it, not even to me, but we're lifting it to God. "I need to get right with you, Lord." So right now, He's here. You just pray this prayer, "Lord, I want to repent. I've let some things take me off track. Lord, I'm repenting this morning. I'm asking for your forgiveness. And by faith, I'm receiving your forgiveness right here, this very moment. I'm receiving your forgiveness. You already paid for it. I receive it by faith, and I have a great gratitude for you for forgiving me. And I'm going to receive your strength into my struggle and into my weakness. And thank you for helping me, strengthening me, and helping me stay on the narrow path, on the right path. And if I stumble, Lord, thank you for helping me make connections and having alongsiders who can help me up, dust me off. We'll get back on the right path together, Lord. I thank you that you are faithful to finish this work you began in me. I'm not here by an accident today. So we receive this, we pray this prayer by faith, and we receive it by faith, and we thank him in Jesus' name. And Lord, I want to refocus myself on the great commandment, prioritizing loving you first. This life is so crazy and all kinds of other things tend to get in the way and get in front of you, but I put you back in first place in my life with my heart, loving you with my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, and my will. Thank you for pouring the love of God out of my heart freshly today. Fill me up. Overflow me with your love, the love of God. Thank you. Fill me up. Overflowing. And Lord, use me as a vessel, to be a vessel of yours to love my neighbor, whomever that might be, in the classroom, in the workplace, in the neighborhood, in the wherever it might be, wherever I find myself. Thank you for letting that love overflow, that I can be like the Good Samaritan you talked about. Because of the love of God in my heart, I have more than I need. It's overflowing. And Lord, as soon as I give it away, you fill me back up. Thank you for encouraging every person here today. This world system can be a discouraging place to live. But Lord, we look to you. You're the author and finisher of our faith. We thank you that you encourage us as only you can. Lord, I pray for every person here that you would give them the desires of their heart as they delight themselves in you, Lord. And we delight ourselves in you. We look to you for your grace and your strength and your power. We thank you that we have it in full measure today. And go through us with this week and keep filling us up over and over and over again and giving a people where we can pour out, share the love of God, how good you are to us, tell our story, and give God the glory. Bless these as disciples here today, Lord. Disciples, followers of Christ. Thank you for fruitfulness. Lord, we rejoice in you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Would you stand, please? Give the Lord a hand clap of offering. He's worthy. He's deserving. He's good. Hallelujah.